Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Spiegel and Parkin Show.
They're trying to accommodate this incredibly entitled jackass.
Matt Spiegel, Danny Parkins, middays on the Score.
Screw you, Campy. Who's that entitled jackass, Jerry Jones or me?
We'll leave it up to interpretation.
Okay, yeah. Really, a lot of ambiguity into who you meant there. Spiegel and Parkins on the Score, brought to you by KFC. Get your family the gift of a $20 fill-up from KFC. You put it on the table instead of under the tree, but they still love it. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Yeah, many of you texting in about me being solo today. No, he was not suspended or anything like that. I want Spiegel back tomorrow, too. I enjoy working with him. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think that Spiegel and I are legitimately, and I should say Spiegel, myself, Jay, and Campy, I think we're legitimately hitting our stride. A little bit of a groove.
Yeah, it feels better, doesn't it?
Feels good.
It's better without Spiegel.
Oh, okay.
Let's just fire him. Spiegel, you're fired. Don't come in tomorrow.
How would Sat Meagle respond to a firing, to getting Wally pipped by nothing?
Babe, I got I'm a solo daddin. I got a solo daddy situation. You understand? Someday, Park, you'll understand what it means to be a dad, and your life will have value and vibes.
Okay. Well, now you got plenty of time for it. No, we're hitting.
Little Ruru needed me, babe.
You're a horrible person, but hilarious, and I love you. But no, I said that the four of us are hitting a groove, and I want him back. Here's the thing. The awkwardness of, like, us in the arranged marriage, that's been gone for a long time. I do think we're hitting our groove. And I will go as far as to say that I will be his longest tenured co-host at the Score.
That's not hard.
I understand that. But a lot of people after those first few months would have bet against it. So I will work with Spiegel longer than he's worked with anyone in Chicago radio. You can write it in pen, ink, pencil, text, tweet, hieroglyphics, whatever you want. That's coming.
So do we set the line at your trips to the Score suite at 1.5?
You're not a nice person, Campy. That's really all it is. You're just not a nice person. But no, I'll just say this. I like hosting solo occasionally. I host with whoever Mitch tells me, but I love working with Spiegel. I love the show we're building. We're not taking ourselves too seriously. We're having fun. We're hopefully making you laugh. We're hopefully making you think. The awkward growing pains are long over. And maybe just, you know, do us one little favor. If you know someone who gave us a shot and thought we sucked, maybe tell a friend and give us another shot. And if you think we still suck, then that's totally fine and you're probably right. But just, you know, give us a shot. And I think it's going to be good, and I think you'll like it, and I think that they'll like it, because our only goal here is really just to laugh a lot and talk about sports and not take ourselves too seriously and to pass our time and your time as quickly as possible. So I look forward to him very much being back tomorrow. Jay, will you ask me the question on the air that you asked during the break about Roger Goodell? Because a few people texted in something similar, and if people weren't listening in the last segment, basically the idea is – I think it's being under-discussed that it was leaked that Roger Goodell is asking for lifetime health insurance for him and his family when he's the commissioner of a league that does not afford lifetime health care even to its players, much less their family, and that must have been leaked to make him look very, very bad in the eyes of players. And your question was what?
Well, when you think of these things, you try to see it through on both sides, try to consider all the angles that might come up, and I sort of got myself to the place where I could think that maybe Roger knows that the right thing to do is to insure these guys for life because of what they're doing, because of the risk they're taking for their long-term health. And maybe by having it leak out and having that demand in his contract, it would shine a light on it. And almost, you know, he could play it off as, oh, I didn't mean for it to happen this way in the eyes of the owners, but he's putting it out there that, look, this is the right thing to do, and if I get it, everybody should. That's probably not what happened.
That is,
but I think you could create a scenario in which that would be possible. I think
that is, giving Roger Goodell way too much credit, way more credit than I'm willing to give him. Like, that strikes me as he doesn't strike me as the most altruistic guy. Like, he seemed to be, based on that reporting, on the player's side more than the owners liked on the anthem issue. But that is, honestly, the only issue I can remember Roger Goodell being on the side of the players. Because he works for the owners, and he's made that clear, and all commissioners work for the owners.
But this, just, you know, devil's advocate. This would be his way of getting that out there without actually saying it, without actually pissing off the owners, and having it become part of the discussion.
Yeah.
If he's feeling like, okay, look, I know, he knows in his heart that it's the right thing to do, but he's got 40 million reasons to not say that to the owners, right?
Yeah. I just think that it's one thing to ask for you and your family for health insurance. It's another thing to be on, you know, on behalf of the hundreds and hundreds of players in the NFL that come in every year, give them health insurance in perpetuity on your dime when their ratings are going down and they're worried about their revenue. Like, I just don't buy it. But plenty of people thought the same thing that you did. I just think it's interesting that in that league, it would be seen as a huge win for the players. Roger Goodell asked for it, reportedly asked for it, and there's no way the players will ever get it. Like, I wonder how that sits with Pat Manley. 16 years in the NFL, longest tenured player in the history of the Chicago Bears, an original franchise. You cannot give more to the game of professional football in terms of longevity than Pat Manley did. And he doesn't have lifetime health insurance paid for by the Chicago Bears. But it has to be a galling concept that the $40 million a year executive would ask for it. And I wonder what Jerry Jones's endgame is. Like, I just wonder what it is. I feel like he's trying to burn it to the ground from the inside. And it's fascinating to watch because the power struggle, like, millionaires are rich, billionaires are powerful. And these are a lot of powerful, powerful, powerful people. And maybe the most powerful is on the other side of it. So I think the story is fascinating. And Michael Irvin, by the way, knows Jerry Jones really well. So we'll ask him about it coming up in 10 minutes. Campy, did you see anyone last night that you think will be a Bull with their top pick in this upcoming draft? Because, like, don't get, you know, everyone's joking, like, oh, of course, Grayson Allen. Like, the four-year gritty player from the college program who can shoot the three. Did you see a player last night that you liked for the Bulls?
Not enough of Marvin Bagley. I mean, that was the guy.
That was the disappointing one that he got hurt.
That was the reason I was tuning in. Because when you look at what the Bulls have done, they've handed out second-round picks like they're candy. I mean, they have no interest in those. But in terms of that top pick, I think he's pretty much the guy. I just think the top end of this draft is so good that There's some good, but that top end is elite, where it's Bagley and Porter and Doncic and Ayton and maybe Bamba. Like, that's a separate group. So I think Bagley was the attraction if we're talking that top five lottery pick.
Jackson Jr. to me on Michigan State
looks really good.
He looks like I lean more eye test than number test, but I try to blend both of them. But he's just like, eye test, he passed it. Absolutely, that's an NBA player.
Yes.
That is a 10-year NBA pro, and we'll see how much of a shot he has, and we'll see how much he fills out, and we'll see what his work ethic is. But the length and the talent and the pedigree and the shot at that age looked good enough. Like, NBA player for 10 years, no question about it.
Yeah, that's a guy.
I know. I'm not saying that with the Bulls, like, if the Bulls get the second pick in the draft, that's not what I'm saying. But, like,
no, but
watching,
like,
Michigan State last night, I was like, that guy's an NBA pro, no question about it.
100%. Yeah, that's a guy that you can absolutely see a mid to late lottery team being like, you know what, we may have one guy. That's a perfect, like, that's a high end complimentary piece if he develops at an average rate.
Yeah, he looked good. Bagley had like 5 offensive rebounds in the first 5 minutes of the game. He was playing like his hair was on fire. He was sprinting up and down the floor. He just didn't strike me as a guy that would play with Markkanen.
Right, exactly. And I told you this before the show, but this is, I thought it was a great comp of, in, was it Sam Vecenie? said that a good comp for Bagley is Amari Stoudemire skewed a little bit more towards today's NBA game.
I loved watching Amari play.
Yeah, I still think one of the craziest numbers I've heard, and this was a couple weeks ago, so I don't know where it would stack now, that 7 seconds and less Suns team would be 25th in pace in this NBA.
What?
25th. Think about that.
That is ridiculous. That doesn't even seem possible, but that's incredible.
I forget which national writer tweeted it out, but I retweeted it at the time because it's mind-boggling.
That is insane. That was one of the most fun teams to watch because they were doing what I perceive people to be doing now, but they were the only ones doing it. So they looked different. Whereas now when everyone's doing the same style of basketball, while it is beautiful and aesthetically pleasing, there's a lot of redundancy around the sport today. Which you could argue is why guys like Ben Simmons and Giannis are having as much success as they are, because if everyone is relying on spreading it out, 4 or 5 guys on the floor who can shoot, it opens up the lane for these super freak athletic guys to just dice and slice their way to the rim and dunk on people.
Especially ones that don't have good jump shots themselves, like those two
guys. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like that's the crazy part about it with those two guys, especially Giannis, as he's putting up the numbers that he is. And he hasn't even really worked on his shot that much. It's just he's doubled down on getting that much better at the stuff he was already good at.
I agree.
Thank you, Jay. By the way, have you guys seen the Nicki Minaj attempt at breaking the internet yet?
Yes. On your recommendation, I saw it. Just for show research purposes.
100%.
Oh. Like, I don't think you can break the internet.
Well, the internet here is broken anyway.
Oh, that's true. That's an explorer.
I don't know if
problem.
It was her fault, but if it is, I have an issue with you, Nikki.
Like, I don't think you can break the internet on sexiness in 2017 because of porn, but valiant effort by Nikki. Like, good job, good effort. More people should try.
Useful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Useful is a great term.
Yeah. That was a strong effort.
Rick and I are going to break the internet with our headshots from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Jay, I'm still laughing. Well, the four of us taking pictures after the show. They ask Rick to, like, cross his arms and not smile and lean into the camera. And Jay just goes, Rick looks comfortable.
Yeah, he was having a great time. You can see it in his face.
There is nothing I dislike more than pictures. Well, pictures that I am involved in.
Listen, I'm not an attractive man, and I don't photograph well either, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I dominated yesterday, but you look so uncomfortable.
That's because I was so uncomfortable.
The guy goes, fake a laugh for me. Rick's like, no.
You looked like you had gas at a funeral, and you were, like, afraid of, like, farting and making noise.
Well, I definitely wasn't at a funeral.
No, you weren't. You were acting like it. It was an amazing show experience.
Spiegel, on the other hand, he was loving it.
Total natural.
Oh,
loves the camera.
The hot
loves
shots at me in there too. I appreciate it.
Yep, making fun of everybody. Loves the attention. Loves the makeup. Loved that there was a stylist. Loved it all.
Spiegel, fake a laugh. Oh, it's a laugh we hear every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it really did resonate. It cut a little close to home. We'll let Michael Irvin trash talk Notre Dame and ask him about if he's ever seen anyone tell Jerry Jones no. Michael Irvin next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Showtime.
Michael Irvin.
There's no chance we'll throw him in any cover. Let's throw him. I'll go get it.
Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Michael Irvin is double covered, but he's got it anyway for another Dallas touchdown.
The playmaker.
What I do? Make plays. Nothing but make plays, baby.
Touchdown, Michael Irvin. Not many people would make that catch.
NFL Network analyst.
Look up, get up, and don't ever give up.
Michael Irvin with Spiegel and Parkins on The Score.
Can't do it in 20 minutes. Patrick Manley sitting in. Spiegel out today, so it's just me and the playmaker, Michael Irvin, from the NFL Network on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Some of our favorite time of the week is when Michael Irvin regales us with his stories and opinion. Congratulations, Michael. The U seems to be back, my friend.
Well, how do you guys feel about that over in that area? I mean, I know it's a lot of Notre Dame fans out in the Chicago area now. I know this to be fact, so I know. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something, too. That was the biggest team I've ever seen. That was the biggest team I'd ever seen. When they were warming up, I was sitting there saying, oh, my God. These dudes are about to track us, man. This is going to be a track meet. They're going to run right down our throat. And then for some reason, they were trying to run outside. And I was like, oh. Then I was like, they're not used to this speed that we have. And it was a wrap. That was a great game, man. What a game, man. I was so exhausted Sunday morning because I had to watch that game, then track all the way to L.A. for Sunday morning.
I was going to say, how did you – private jet life? How does that work?
You got to go. I had to get it done. I had to do it, man. For a game like this, you don't miss a game like this. You know, I have to do it again December 2nd when they play that championship game against Clemson over in Charlotte. I'm pulling off the same trick. I will not miss those games.
So, like, who do you, Michael Irvin, trash talk to? Like, you got to know some Notre Dame people. Like, who do you go out of your way to, like, tell them about what happened on Saturday?
Well, wait a minute. First of all, Tim Brown's a great, great, great friend of mine. You know, and I love Tim, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What'd you have for Tim Brown?
I want to laugh because when we were playing him, and you know, Tim was a young guy, and that was probably his first experience to Miami brothers. Let's just use that to the Miami brothers in that sense. And the things we were saying to him in the game. And I remember him leaving the game saying, oh, my God, I can't believe they talk about my family like that. You know what I'm saying? Because we were saying some of everything. And that was before I knew him. Now I know him as a great friend. I know why that just type of person he is, how they got to him. But for some of the things that we were saying, but yeah, you I mess with guys like Tim, man, because you know a Rocket, they all you know those are Notre Dame people and everything. But those are my boys also. But that was a great win for us. We needed that win.
Do you think you'll get Clemson in the ACC title game?
I really thought Notre Dame was going to be a little much, but I was surprised, guys. I mean, I'm dead surprised that Notre Dame's passing game is that subpar for that level of football. Now, I do believe Clemson got a better passing game and it'll be a better game in that sense. But I feel pretty good about what I saw with Miami and the confidence that they're playing with right now.
Talking to Michael Irvin on the score. I think what's happening with Jerry Jones and the NFL is fascinating on a number of levels. I'm curious, have you ever seen anyone tell Jerry Jones no? Have you ever seen him not get his way?
Well, I don't think any of those 32 guys we have over there as owners have heard the word no in a whole bunch of ways. You know what I mean? They are go-getters. That's why they've accomplished what they've accomplished here in life, because they've gotten up and went to go get it. So I haven't heard him say get no a lot. Now, Jerry will tell you he's had his butt knocked down a couple of times, but he had to just get back up, and that's just the bottom line. And I understand this. But I'm telling you, I'm kind of vexed with this because I like Roger. I like Roger. I really do. I like Roger. But I also understand what Jerry is saying. You know, you were negotiating something 18 months before it needs to get done. You know, and Roger has some pretty big demands. Now, that's all part of business. But usually these kinds of deals, they get done when the slipper falls off Cinderella. They're never usually ahead of time like this and getting them done. So I understand both sides.
Yeah, no, I'm with you that, you know, deadlines make deals. But a year ago, it seemed like everybody wanted Goodell there. And then we know what's changed, right? There's been the Anthem protests and there's been the Ezekiel Elliott thing. And it's interesting to me that it seems like Jerry Jones is not only trying to slow it down for Roger Goodell, but he doesn't care if the other billionaire owners disagree with him. Like, he's willing to take on the other owners on this too, not just Goodell.
Well, I think he's seeing what we're seeing. And as a businessman, what are you most concerned about? You're concerned about your product, you know, and some of the things that I've heard and read about and hear these guys talking about. You know, I'm kind of in agreeing with Jerry on this sense that the NFL has to get out of the police business. You know, and we understand because we love the NFL so much, we put responsibilities on the NFL that's bigger than anyone else. Like, let's just use, like, the Ray Rice situation. Like, the police should have put Ray Rice in jail. No one was mad at the police when they let Ray Rice go. But everybody got mad at the NFL for only suspending him for a short amount of time. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This should be on the police. This here, it shouldn't even get to an issue where you have to decide if he's going to miss games or three games. He should be in jail. If you hit somebody like that and they fall out, you should automatically have jail time, period. In the court. You don't know. You could kill somebody hitting them like that. You could kill somebody. I may make a joke of it, but it's a seriousness there. If you hit my daughter like that and they don't lock you up, all they did was leave you out so I can come and lock you down. Because then they're going to lock me up. You know what I'm saying? We gotta put the responsibility where the police needed to do something about that. But we put it all on the NFL. Everything falls on the NFL. So I think Jerry's just saying, let's get out of the police business. Let the police be the police and us not be the police. And I think he's got a point there.
Talking to Michael Irvin on The Score. We'll continue after this update. Continuing with Michael Irvin, the playmaker, we appreciate his time from the NFL Network. You mentioned the demands that came out about Roger Goodell. I'm curious what you think as a former player who gave so much to the game when you read that the commissioner is asking for lifetime health insurance for him and his family when that's not something the players have.
Lifetime health insurance, the same thing he fights the players on. You know what I mean? It's mind-boggling when you think about it. Well, I want $50 million, and I want lifetime health insurance for me and my family. We want to be able to use any one of these jets for our life. Lifetime jets. So I don't have an issue with what he's asking for because that's business. You know, he's asking for it, and if they give it to him, then obviously it wasn't too much. But then again, that's what Jerry's talking about. Wait, let's hold him down on all of this. Wait a minute, you know, and giving him all of this. But it does make you feel some kind of way when you know, hey, you're fighting tooth and nail for the owners, for against us with these things, and then these are the exact same things you think you are worthy of having, and you haven't run not one slant route, in this league, you know. So, you know, yeah, I guess people will look at that. But as I said, I like Roger Goodell, and I do think Roger's done some good things for this league. And I don't like seeing them in this. I wish they could work something out to make it good for everybody.
How bad did you think that loss was for the Bears against the Packers?
Well, I took Chicago to win that game, and I thought, from where you guys are standing from, I thought, wow, Chicago has to say, we're not contending with Aaron Rodgers. We got this. You know, because Aaron Rodgers has been a problem for him. Now, we're not contending with Aaron Rodgers. We got this. And then you go in and lose that game, you know, to Brett Hundley. And then, yeah, that it's a hard loss.
People around here want John Fox fired because of it.
It's a hard loss. It's a hard loss. And I'm telling you right now that and it's not just probably that, and that's probably the straw, like they said, that broke the back. But it's also, I'm sure, you know, the use of the young quarterback, and it's also, I'm sure, the growth of the young quarterback in L.A. with that offensive-minded guy. Somebody, I promise you, they're listening to our segment when we talk about when you get a young quarterback like that, you want an offensive-minded guy. They're listening. They're listening to you guys' show over there in Chicago. They're trying to learn to figure this thing out, too. Trust me, they're getting these information. And it's smart to get the information. I've always liked Coach Fox. But if I got a young quarterback, no. I got to get him the right person to grow him.
You got a name for us? Like, who's you're around the league. You're plugged in. Who's the next Sean McVay?
Boy, that's a good question. That's a good question. And I don't know who I would place that on right now. An offensive genius. Because I think that's what he is and the way he plays it. He's taking each system and moved it forward. The system they're in is the same system we played. We used to win Super Bowls here in Dallas, and then
that system went to the Rams with Mike Marks and all of those guys, and the greatest show on turf. They added something to what we did and got Oz Akeem and all of these people involved. But now he's taking that same system and taking it to a whole new level. I mean, he's just incredible. I don't know that I'm looking around, as I'm looking through my head going around, that I can point to one person and say, what? That'll be the next Sean McVay. I don't know. I don't have a guy at the top of my head that I know that could do that.
Michael, we always appreciate the time and the insight. We'll talk to you next week.
For sure, guys. All right.
Thank you. That's Michael Irvin from the NFL Network on The Score. The segment brought to you by Dell. Dell Small Business Black Friday Sale. It's going on now. The lowest prices of the year and free shipping on everything. Shop doorbusters on business PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 1-877-BUY-DELL. All right. Well, he's standing up. There he is, triumphant. He's back. He's ready. Guilt tripped him into coming in for Can't Do It. 16 years with the Bears, the NFL lifestyle, Lovie Smith, Rex Grossman, an NFC championship team, working with Matt Spiegel. You can ask me questions, you can ask Jay questions, you can ask Campy questions, you can ask whatever you want. Duke, whatever you want to know, though. Pat Manley is in for Can't Do It. 312-644-6767. What have you always wanted to know about the Bears or the NFL lifestyle from Pat Manley? He's sitting in for Can't Do It in the next hour on The Score.
You can't do it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Can't do it.
The segment most likely to get someone suspended, fired, or at least spending the night on the couch.
I will tell you a deeply personal story because I have a tendency to overshare.
I raised you. Nastiest you've ever done. I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. Mary Screw killed Donald Trump, Matt Spiegel, or Jimmy Butler?
I'm not gonna answer that. Stupid.
Which category do you click on that would horrify your life?
What's the question? I feel like this is like a setup.
I have to answer your question. You can't do it.
I don't know.
You shouldn't do it.
It's a very negative question.
I have a question. Yes. In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
I don't know that I really want to answer that.
What's your question?
I'm your huckleberry.
I'll answer the question.
This is bad radio and it's not appropriate.
Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door?
Can't do it.
A special edition of Can't Do It with Matt Spiegel out today. He's back tomorrow. Pat Manley was nice enough to offer to host the 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock hour with me. And I said, no, but I could really use you for Can't Do It. And you made yourself available for the time, and then you had to say yes. Hi, Pat.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm in.
312-644-6767. Former Bear. You could ask Rick a question, Jay a question, me a question. We're all still available.
Oh, they're not getting guest questions, I guarantee you. And I guarantee you Matt Spiegel right now is tuning in for this.
I'm
maybe
sure.
Not the rest
whatever
of your show today.
Whatever he's doing. Yeah.
But whatever he's doing, he's making sure he's listening right now. I guarantee you.
And Jay, if you want to go out into the hallway and you can call in and ask a question, Campy can screen him after all the time.
All right. That sounds good. Maybe I will.
Okay. Let's get score prize packs on the line. You guys know the game. 312-644-6767. This is your chance to ask a Bear whatever you want. Ben in Rockford, you're on with Pat Manley for Can't Do It. What's your question?
Hey, guys. My question is for Pat.
Okay.
All right, Pat. Out of all your time with the Bears, who was your least favorite teammate?
I'm guessing if any of my former teammates are listening right now, they're probably wondering if I'm going to call them out of any part of this show. But I'm going to have to go with Mike Wells. You remember Mike Wells? He was a defensive tackle. My rookie year, I hated him. He was a bully. He bullied me. He'd make fun of me being a long snapper. And at that time, that was kind of the first time like it became a true position. He's like, what the heck is this long snapper? What are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. And I hated him. And I'd come home and I complain to my wife all the time. And she'd be like, well, just do something about it. I'm like, he's 6'5", 330 pounds, big old meathead dude. So Mike Wells. I hated him.
All right. You hate him.
I hate him.
Joe in Lombard, you're on with Pat Manley for Can't Do It. What's your question?
Pat, question's for you, bud. When you went out into the field on special teams, whether it be the punt team or the field goal team, they always say you, when you go into battle, you want to know you're with somebody you can trust in the trenches. Who is the least trustable person you ever went out with, not dated, but went out to the field with?
Lance Briggs.
Who did you not trust?
Lance Briggs. He didn't want to be out there.
Really?
Yeah, we got a punt blocked against Green Bay.
Wow!
And it was I love. And Lance wanted to be a starting linebacker. He was went on to have a a Hall of Fame career, but he did not want to be on special teams. I was scared to have him out there.
Really?
He was our left guard or right guard. I can't remember which guard. And I kept telling Mike Sweatman, our special teams coach, we can't have him in there. He doesn't want to do this. And we gave up a punt block between him and I because we miscommunicated. Something happened on a twist. And we got a punt blocked. But Lance, I love you, man. But I know you didn't want to be out there, but I didn't trust him.
Wow, you did not trust Lance Briggs on special teams. Okay. That's great. 312-644-6767. Pat Manley in on Can't Do It. And you can tell he is answering questions so far. So get in, whatever you wanted to know. Jamie, you're on Can't Do It on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Who's your question for?
My question is for Pat.
All right.
Pat, during your tenure with the Bears, who would you say was the most anatomically challenged as far as shortcomings in the locker room?
Oh, wow.
That's, we're not there looking around, but I could do the opposite. I really can't recall a micro, whatever you want to call it.
Can't recall a micro.
But I could do the opposite, and it's been known around the league, and that's Marty Carter.
Yeah.
Marty Carter was the opposite.
Okay.
So the smallest, I have no idea. That's nothing, but Marty Carter was the best way it was put. Chris Chandler said it. A dozen donuts and a cup of coffee.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
God.
The way he was described, and he's been described that way around the league and other teams he's played for.
Okay. I mean, I think Jamie gets a prize because he wasn't able to answer it.
Yeah, I can't do that one, but I give you the opposite one. Maybe he gets two prizes there, the answer of that question and a score, whatever prize pack you guys give away.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So far, so good?
Yeah, you're doing well. You're doing well. Jeff on the highway, you're on Can't Do It with Pat Manley on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Who's your question for?
Sadly enough, I just passed a Dunkin' Donuts, man. I don't know if I followed that one. Patrick, this question's for Patrick.
Okay.
All your years with the Bears, who's the one player, had you been given the opportunity, you would have liked to knock the crap out of?
That's a great question. I can't recall. I don't know. I liked everybody. There was nobody that really ticked me off.
Use the Mike Wells answer again.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't want to fight him because I'd get my butt kicked. But
right.
No, I can't do it because there's nobody I really honestly wanted to go fight or punch or did not like. And I think that says a lot about the locker room that we had over the years I was there. We had a great locker room. There was truly nobody I just wanted to walk over and punch and be like, hey, you're an idiot. No, there was nobody. So that's a can't do it. I'm sorry. I know, bad answer. Sorry, Dad.
All right. Mike in Gray's Lake, who's your question for? You're on Can't Do It.
Parkson. Parks.
Parkins, P-A-R-K-I-N-S, but thank you, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Of the seven major hosts, Marlene Hanley, Spiegel and Parks, Parkins. And Parks.
P-A-R-K-I-N-S.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's okay. Got it. Of the seven major hosts.
Seven major hosts, and include in that Lawrence.
Yeah, of course.
And I. Can you name one of those that's a conservative?
I don't know the political leanings of the morning show, but I would think the five of us are liberal leaning for sure. I honestly don't know the leanings of the morning show hosts, to be perfectly honest. There are conservatives who work at the Score, though, but you asked for the seven hosts. So no, I cannot. The answer to your question is no, I cannot of the seven major hosts, but I don't know the political leanings of the two morning hosts. Let's go to Terry in Oak Lawn. Terry, who's your question for?
For Pat.
Okay, go ahead.
What was your favorite thing about Jay Cutler?
Riding his coattails. If we went ever out and socially went out, you'd get behind the scenes, we'd go to concerts, you'd get backstage, meet the artist or whatever, but just riding his coattails.
Who did you
riding his fame.
Who did you meet backstage?
Just like Matt Kearney. We were down at the House of Blues. I was a big fan of his and went to, the concert and hung out with him afterwards, had a couple drinks and stuff like that. So
nice.
Riding your star player's coattails.
Tom, you're on Can't Do It on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Who's your question for?
My question is for Pat. Pat, during your time with the Bears, who was the worst quarterback you played with?
As in, you mean like how they played? as a teammate?
Overall talent, who was the worst one you played with?
Talent.
Oh, I would just have to, and I've said it before, I think I got to say it again, it's Cade McNown. I just think the fact he came in as a first rounder and we were hoping that he was going to save the franchise, and he turned out to be, you know, in my eyes, the bust word. You know, he just wasn't good. He didn't prepare like I would like to see a, you know, a number one draft pick prepare, and he didn't treat teammates like you want a quarterback to be treating your teammates. So I'd say Cade McNown.
All right, Cade McNown, asked and answered. 312-644-6767. Raymond, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
This will be for Parkins.
Okay.
If your wife were to give you a hall pass, what female coworker would you have a one-night stand with? And you have to give a name.
Well, I don't have to give a name. It's my show and my game. So sorry about that, sir, but congratulations on your prize.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Let's go to Julian in Schaumburg. Julian, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Question is for Pat. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident would you say are the McCaskies?
Ooh, oh, boy. Good question.
All right.
Good question.
That family has made me a wealthy man, a lucky man. 16 years in the NFL, they allowed me to snap a ball for them, so I can't do it. Can't do
can't
it.
Can't do it.
Can't do
can't
it.
Can't do it.
Okay. No way.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. Well, there's an answer in there. There's an answer in there somewhere.
I'm sure, but I can't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I no. I get no, but I mean, there's an answer in the can't do it in there somewhere. John and Fulton, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
John and Fulton?
That yeah, you. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, have you ever whispered the words, Matt, you fat bastard?
No. 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 What Spiegel has done, Spiegel and I really get along well, and two, with Spiegel's openness about his struggle with weight and food and that he's down like 200 pounds.
That's amazing.
Are you kidding? It's like, it's inspirational. He looks good.
Yeah.
Our audience voted him 70-30 in terms of percentage of being better looking than me. I'm not throwing any stones in that glass house. Are you crazy? Let's go to Rich on the north side. You're on Can't Do It with Pat Manley and Danny Parkins. Who's your question for?
Questions for Manley.
Okay.
And the question is, who did Olin Kreutz punch at the gun range?
Oh, that was Fred Miller. Everybody knows that.
That's out there, Rich.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, yeah. Fred Miller broke his jaw in two places. I think it was two, but it was Fred Miller.
Who's the most incompetent coach you've ever had?
Oh man. I was lucky with all four special teams coaches that I had. They were great. So none of those guys. There was an O-line coach for the Bears that just was one step above his pay grade. I'm not going to give his name, so I can't do that. But there's been some guys in there that they exposed themselves by their lack of knowledge. Like if you ask them a somewhat difficult question, they can't answer it right away. They've got to cut the tape off, send the team out of the room, rewatch the tape, and then formulate an answer. There's been some guys like that.
So there are times when the players know more than the coaches do.
100%. Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Trestman.
No. I mean, I don't know. I think Mark just got was he CFL Coach of the Year?
He kills it in Canada,
but he's 9-9 or something, right?
Yeah, well, they love him. they just love him up there.
No, he didn't work out with the Bears in our locker room the time he was there. It did not fit. It was
he
just the wrong
on
hire.
Okay,
but it just his personality did not fit inside Halasol. That was a mistake of hire.
All right, Pat wants to weigh in on the Roger Goodell stuff. We want to talk Kyle Long with you and the situation on the offensive line, and we'll talk about your surprise guest coming on as well. Pat Manley in studio for the next hour at Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.